Last Sunday we began a series called I Am a Church Member. And we asked the question, what is the local church? And the answer that I gave you, a definition I gave you from Scripture, was that the local church is an organized group of unique disciples that gather to affirm and equip one another as representatives of King Jesus. That as we gather here, that's why we gather. To affirm and encourage one another as representatives of King Jesus, that we might be filled up as we gather here today to go out into our lives and to represent Jesus well. But that is not all the church is. That is not all church membership means. See, when we are saved by grace through faith, we not only should become a part of a local church, but we become a part of the universal church. The heavenly church that is made up of past, present, and future members of the body of Christ. All those that have called on Jesus in faith. That is what we become part of. Ephesians 2, 4 through 6 tells us this truth. These beautiful words that speak to our hearts. It says, but God being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is what happens to every believer, every person that calls on the name of Jesus by grace through faith. We have our eternity secured. There is a place for us at the moment of salvation that we never have to worry about death separating us from God. That at the moment of faith, we already have our spot for all eternity. We have been seated with Christ in the heavenlies. We are part of this church now and forever. We are part of the ecclesia, the called out people of God across time and space. And that truth, we're to live that out here as a part of a local church, but tied to every brother and sister in Christ because of the sacrifice of Jesus. United under the same head and under the same spirit with brothers and sisters in Africa and Asia and Europe and South America, all a part of the body of Christ. Now, we're not in local fellowship with them, so we can't really affirm whether they are representatives of Jesus. We can't really encourage them all that often, but when we hear about the work of God in them, the powerful movement of the spirits that happen, we should rejoice, for the Bible tells us to rejoice as they rejoice. And so we should when we hear of this work that's going on. We should be overjoyed that God is bringing people to faith in Africa and Asia and across the world, because it just adds to His heavenly kingdom. It adds to those that are loving and worshiping Him. And I tell you, we have local churches. If we focus solely on what God does here, without looking to what He's doing in the world, we are dishonoring God. I don't know if you know it or not, it's really, really hard for churches to work together for some reason. I don't know why. We operate in these silos, like we just got to get as much into this silo as possible and not really worry about what goes on outside of here, and always concerned whether or not somebody's going to take our sheep from us. And I'll be honest, if I'm speaking to any pastors that are listening, I don't want your sheep. I want lost people to come to faith. Whether that means they come to faith and find a home here at Harmony Baptist to belong to as a member, or they go to your church, wherever you may go. We just want the kingdom to grow so that God's glorified. See, I want us all to understand that what we do here, what we do at Harmony Baptist Church, it is only successful in its sending capacity and not in its seating capacity. I will never make a decision based on around whether or not what God tells us to do will make us lose members. Because if God says it, that's what we're going to do. If He says send out 30 people to go plant a church, that's what we're going to do. He says, make the most of your finances about the mission of God. That's what we're going to do. Because we're commanded to do these things. If you're here today, saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, you have two choices, well, three choices. You can either be a goer or you can be a sender. These are the commands of God. Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. That's the command of God. We're commanded to send. 3 John 5:8 says, beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testify to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. For they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. There's a command to go and a command to send. Romans 10 repeats it. How will they preach if there's not someone to send them? Every Christian, every one of us is called to preach the gospel in our daily lives. We're called to live this out before others, that they may see the light and be drawn into the kingdom. But not everybody's called to be missionaries. Not everybody's called to give up everything they have to go and take the gospel to the nations. Some are. And it's a blessed thing to see that God still calls people like He did Paul and Barnabas out of the church at Antioch, where they laid hands on them and they prayed and fasted and these things came up. They laid hands on them and they sent them out. And it just was a missionary movement like we've never seen before that we still reap the benefits from today. Not everybody's called to go like this. So you got three choices as a Christian. Three choices. You can go to the nations with the gospel. You can send people to the nations with the gospel. Or you can disobey God. Don't do that. I don't know what God's calling you to do. I don't know where He's got your heart. But I ask this, is He calling you to go today? Is He laying on your heart that there are people in this world that you need to go and share the gospel with? And I'm not talking about across the street in this moment. You better be doing that. I'm talking about across the oceans. Is He calling you out like He has thousands before you to take the gospel of Jesus to the nations? I would love to see that happen. I would love to see this placed on your heart, because God is worthy to have His praises sung by new tongues. He is worthy of that. And it would make your feet beautiful. How beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel. How awesome it would be to see God do that in our midst in this morning. So are you called to go, or are you called to send others to go and minister while you minister with the gospel here? This is not a cruise ship that we have here. Harmony Baptist Church is not a cruise ship where you just come and eat as much. Amy and I are going on a cruise next week, so this just stood out. Where you just eat as much as you can and lay around all day reading books and sucking all the comfort that you can out of the world. That is not what the local church is. The local church is an aircraft carrier where warriors for God gather to be refueled, to be trained, and to be sent back out to make war on the darkness around us. And if you're here for the long term at Harmony Baptist, you're going to be a trainer or a refueler. You're going to be somebody that's caring for those that have been out in this war. That's your role to play, to support those people, to send them back out. And when I say send, this is what I mean. We can send two ways. We've done it this year, right, with this church plant. We can send people from this local church to go out to the nations, or We can support someone that's already on their way. God's sovereign hands brings them into fellowship with us where we come to know them, and then we can say, hey, I see what you're doing and I want to support that. That's the two types of sending that we can do. Send someone out of harmony or see someone that's being sent and say, we want to support you. Harmony Baptist Church exists to make disciples of all people in all places to the glory of God. And that means that we support the foundation of local churches across the world and the missionaries that go and try to establish or support local churches across the world. That is what we will be about as a church. Seeing the gospel go near and far for the glory of God. You may not know this, because like four people show up to the finance meetings when we talk about the church budget. But we directly support City Hope Church in Rock Hill, South Carolina, Reconcile Church in Greenville, South Carolina, Crossover Church in Detroit, Michigan, an unnamed church plant in Anchorage, Alaska, and Bangkok City Baptist Church in Bangkok, Thailand. All local churches that God is working in and through to make disciples in our world. We also support two missionary families. We support the Jackson family of missionaries in Portugal. We support Miss Amanda Bain, a missionary in South Africa. And as we support them, it is good for us to hear what God is doing there, to hear and rejoice about the great things that God has done in and through them. And so it is our privilege this morning to have with us Miss Amanda Bain. And she tells us about God's great work in South Africa.
So I first want to say hello and goeiemôre and mawei, which are the greetings in Afrikaans and Xhosa. Thank you so much for being here today, and thank you for all of your support and prayers throughout this past year. It has been just miraculous and wonderful what God has done in South Africa, and that couldn't have happened without your help and your prayers. So thank you very much for all of that. So if we look at the next slide, when I first got to South Africa last December, we were still working on the property, getting everything ready so that it could become a school, right? So we had to put in a floor in the hall and then move a couple walls and paint and all that. So the pictures that will come up in a little bit have some of that going on, and then the decorations in the classroom. So all of that had to be done in order to get the campus ready so that we could have children because the school starts in January. And before school starts, they have summer camp because the seasons are opposite because it's in the southern hemisphere. So January is the summertime. So I was able to, during the boys camp, I was able to help out in the kitchen and get to know some of the mamas who helped me start learning some of the language and, there. And then in the next week when we had the girls camp, I was able to be a camp counselor. Go to the next slide. Before you're able to be a camp counselor, you have to go to staff training. So that just kind of goes over like the lessons that are there and what points do we really want to hone in on and the games that you can be able to help and stuff. So before we went, we had camp, I was on my way to camp, and the Lord had blessed to give me an automatic car, which was one of my prayer requests from the last year, because I didn't know how to drive a manual car. So we were able to find an automatic car, and that was this little blue car. So I had the Google pin, because Camp Rhino is so far out in the rural areas, there is no address, so you have to use coordinates to find it. So I had the Google pin to follow my GPS, and I had my car, and I'm like, I can do this, I'm going on my own, right? And so it was fun for the first 20 minutes of the drive until I came to this massive mud puddle that covered the dirt road all the way, both sides, down into the ditch, to the fence line. There was no way around it, right? Which at that point, you should turn around and go see if there's another way. I didn't do that. I tried to go through it, and I got stuck. And so then I was like, well, let's see if we can back it up. So I put it in reverse, and the car didn't move. And I was like, oh, no. So I texted Amy, the lady who... she and her husband run Camp Rhino. I texted her and told her I might be a little bit late. I was stuck in the mud. And I'm like, okay, well, what do we do? What do we do? And so I'll just, put it in neutral and try and push it. But I didn't want to get in the mud because I was going for training, right? So I wanted to stay clean as much as possible. So I tried to push on the door frame, and that did not work. The car did not move. So I was like, if I put the car in reverse, then the engine will help me, and then I can push it out, right? So I put the car in reverse, I'm trying to push it, still didn't move. I'm like, I'm going to be late. This is terrible. This is the worst way to start a ministry. God, I need to make a good first impression on these people. And so I'm looking around, and I'm like, Lord, what am I going to do? And I see a stick. And so I'm like, if I push the gas, then the engine will really help me as I'm trying to push this car out. But as a teacher, I know a teeny bit about physics, so I should have foreseen that if you have the door open, you're in front of that door, the door's going to hit you as you're pushing, which is what happened. And I fell down, and the car ran over me up my hip and across my shoulder, thankfully missing my head. And thankfully, nothing was broken, because at that point, I had to get up and run after the car that was now free from the mud and running all over. So I was covered in mud head to toe. I'm like, oh well, so much for first impressions. I go back on the main road, it takes me a little ways down, and I find the same dirt road from the other end, which is only halfway covered with the mud hole. And I make it to the camp, and Amy opens the door, she goes, would you like a shower? Yes, please. And it was a blessing and a miracle, because she wears the same size as me, and all you ladies understand how rare that is to find, right? So I was able to take a shower and have clean clothes and still go to training. And so that was the first of many miraculous things that the Lord did this year. So if we'll go to the next slide, this is a picture from the dirt road as I was turning around trying to get back to the main road, so you can kind of see what it looks like there. So then if we go to the next slide, during the girls' camp, I had six girls in my dorm, so that's in the first picture, you can see my girls. And then Mama Mendisa is the lady in the second photo. She was the lady in charge of the kitchens, and so I got to know her a little bit during the boys' camp. And on the second night of the girls' camp, Bungati, one of the girls in my dorm, she said that she felt the Lord leading her, like pulling on her heart. And so with Mama Mendisa's help, I was able to translate the Romans Road into Fuxa, and she was able to accept Christ on the second night of camp. And that was an awesome thing. And while working at summer camp and going over the lessons and everything, it gave me a good training ground, because as working in the school, I'm working with children who may or may not have a good foundation in English, right? They're mainly speaking Fuxa or Afrikaans. And I speak English. I'm learning in Afrikaans, but I'm not fluent. And so while working at summer camp, all of these girls spoke Fuxa. And as we were going over the lessons, it taught me how to try and find common ground, right? And be able to connect from the heart rather than intellectually. And so going over lesson things, I learned how to reword questions. So instead of saying, you know, how did Daniel show courage? Then you could say, what was it that Daniel did that made the king angry with him, right? It gives you the same thought process of figuring out what it is, but it's easier to understand and easier to connect with. So the summer camp was a great training ground for me to be able to work with my students in the classroom. I've had a lot of people since I got back ask me what it's like in South Africa. So I have a little section here that's going to talk about the different parts and areas, because there's lots of vastly different economic statuses very close to each other in South Africa. So this is a picture in front of Grace Baptist Church, which is the English-speaking church that I attended there. And they are in the town proper of Port Elizabeth, so it's like the city part. So it's kind of similar to America in the fact that it's got paved roads. There are shops there. There's a mall there. There's robots, which are actually called robotic traffic controllers, which are actually what we would call red lights or traffic lights. So it's very similar to America in the sense that there's structure, there's fences, there's houses that look different from each other, and there's neighborhoods. Everywhere has fences because the crime rate is quite high there. So no matter whether you're in the nice part of town or the poor part of town, every house has a fence around its yard. So then if you go to the next slide, this is from Soweto, which is an established location or a township. So I also attend Soweto Baptist Church, which is a speaking church. And I started a youth choir there, which we sing English and Xhosa songs. And one of the interesting parts there is that they don't actually have instruments in the Xhosa church. In Grace Church, we had a piano that we sang with for congregationals. But in Soweto, we did not. So you have the one of the ladies in the congregation will have a clapper, which is a small leather pillow that they stuff with grocery bags, so that when you clap it, it makes a sound kind of like a drum mixed with a cymbal, because the grocery bags crinkle and the leather amplifies the sound of your clap. So that's what they use to keep time, and that's what we sing with in the locations. And so it's pretty cool. And so the location is, the establishments are where the government has come in and built RDPs, which are small houses that are all identical, that they build because as a socialistic country, the government is required to provide you a house and a job. So you put your name on a list and you wait there until the house, the government decides to build your house. So Soweto has been there long enough that the government has done this. So there's houses that all look the same. There's fences, there's small little roadside shops. So we're here in this, the top picture there, you can see the little, these are restaurants that sell meat that's been cooked on the open fire and bread that's been cooked on the open fire. And so there's one robot or traffic light on the main road. The main roads are paved, but the side roads are dirt. And so this is an established location. The next slide is about informal settlements, or the townships that haven't been there long enough for the government to come and start building houses. So these are the people who are living in shacks. So what they do is they find a bit of land and they build a shack out of whatever they can find, whether it be sheet metal or tarps or pallets or plywood or just whatever they can piece together to build a shelter. And they live there until the government has time to come and build them a house. So they might stay in this type of settlement for decades, right? And there's no running water or electricity. So what they'll do is they'll break into the water mains and run a pipe to the edge of the location. And so the water just constantly runs. And it's a problem because once the water gets into the groundwater, because it's so close to the ocean, it becomes salty because the groundwater is salty. So therefore, it's no longer good to drink. So they actually catch, they have reservoirs where they catch the rainwater, and that's what's traveling through the pipe. So it's it creates a problem. So South Africa is in a drought, but it's not a lack of rain that causes the drought. It's actually water mismanagement that causes the drought. And then also they'll break into the nearest transformer and run wires from the transformer across the ground, which is of course very dangerous, because you're not supposed to deal with live electricity. If someone from the power company were to run new wires, they would turn the power off before they attach the wires. But when you're doing it yourself, you don't have that option because you don't have the off switch. So there have been people who've died doing that, but the alternative is to live with no water and no electricity. So that's what they do. And this creates some animosity about people who live in these areas, because the way that the power company and the water company send bills is they have a meter at the location that sends the water and electricity, and they say, okay, well, this area used this much electricity, so we divide it up about this many houses and send them a bill for how much electricity they're supposed to have used. But if someone intercepts the electricity on the way, like the meter at the place is much higher than the meter at your house. So then people get these bills that might be for millions of rand, and they're like, I didn't use this much electricity, I can't afford this. So then you have to go and prove that you didn't use this amount of electricity to adjust your bill, and it creates this animosity that creates this, where they don't want to help the people when they really need the help, because the people here are living in poverty and they need help to be able to get out of that, but because of the unintentional repercussions of their actions, it creates this animosity. So then we go to the next slide. In Port Elizabeth, we have the two main national languages. There are 11 national languages in South Africa. The two main ones where I are Afrikaans and Xhosa. So I'm going to read you Psalms 150, verse 6 in Afrikaans. And they pronounce the P, so it's not silent. So it's Psalm 105, tak vers 6. Laat alles wat awesome het die Heer praise die Heer. Which means, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. And then in Xhosa, I'll read Genesis 1:1. I Genesis isachiko so kutala I verse yo kutala ekekaleni utika wadala amazulu nechambati. Which means, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. So these are two of the foundation principles that we want to teach our kids at Bay Baptist Academy. Because if you know who created you and that you're supposed to praise Him, then you're able to do that with your life. So if we go to the next slide, these are our kids that we had this year. We had 28 students this year at Bay Baptist Academy. Last I heard, we had 10 new students enrolled, so we'll have 38 this coming year. So last time I was here, I told you about the statistics of the educational quality in South Africa and how only about 10 or 12% of students in the 12th grade will graduate, despite 30% being the passing grade to be able to graduate, and how only about 27% of 6th graders can't even read. Those things piled together makes it easy to understand why South Africa ranks 75 out of 76 developed countries in education, which is why we started the school, because these kids need a foundation to be able to impact their world for Christ if they don't have the knowledge to be concerned about anything other than just where is my next meal coming from. They're not going to be able to share the gospel effectively. So we want to be able to give them the best foundation possible, which is why we use a curriculum that is mastery-based and student-led learning. So when they come in, we will diagnose them and see what they know and what they don't know, and then we'll build their academic projection based on where they are, right? So that way we can fill in the gaps that they've missed and be able to get them to where they should be so they can graduate knowing everything they should know to be able to be successful and to be a good representative of Christ. But that doesn't mean that we work all the time. We do have fun days. If you look at the next slide, because it's student-led, that means that they can move at their own pace. So they have a certain amount of goals that they need to complete for the week, and if they get those goals finished early enough, then they will have Freedom Friday on Fridays, which is a time where they can do a fun activity instead of having to be in the classroom. So it might be movie day or making cookies or whatever fun thing that we have planned for that week. And the ones who need the help are able to stay in the classroom with the teacher to work on things that they need help comprehending so they can have more one-on-one and specialized attention. So then on the next slide, we had a school party, we had the treats and everything that were given out, and I asked this one little boy, Sayana, and I said, would you like a vanilla cupcake or a chocolate cupcake? And he looked at me and said, I only have R2. And I said, that's okay, you don't have to pay for this. And he goes, you're going to give it to me? For free? And I said, yes, for free, you can have it, it's just for you. And he's like, what? And I said, it's for everybody, it's free for everybody. Just like God's love, it's free for everybody, and then so is the cupcake. And he goes, wow, for me, yes, for you. Because they have these things called tuck shops in the public schools where you have to pay in order to have food. So you can bring your own food from home or you have to buy it at school. There's no given food, food is not given. And they don't have things like emergency lunch. If somebody comes in and has no food, they don't have those types of programs in their school like we do here. Go to the next slide. About Easter, in fact, on Easter weekend, my blue car completely died and had to be put in the shop. And it was in the shop for 2 months before they decided that this transmission is totally irrepairable because it was an automatic transmission. And since most of the cars there are manual, that's what the mechanics know how to work on. So after 2 months and trying two different transmissions, they're like, okay, this is scrap. So we sold it for scrap. And then I'm like, Lord, I don't know where the funds are going to come from to get a new car because I spent all the money, the extra money from that I saved on the car, paying for their car repairs. And the Lord blessed, and He sent so many donations from so many different people, so many different places, some people that I didn't even know had never met before, to be able to purchase this car, which is a manual car, and it's been working very well, so I'm able to still go to the different churches and help out everywhere that I was assisting. We also had some fun days like field trips and crazy hair, crazy hat. We had an athletics day, which is a lot like field day here, where we have different sports and games and stuff that the kids can be a part of. Then we'll go to the next slide. During winter break, we have VBS, or Holiday Bible Club, at Grace Baptist Church with over 80 children who attended. And I taught the 6th and 7th grade group, and I was able to lead one of those girls to the Lord as well. So that was a very blessing and a super fun week as well. the next page. So this is a picture of our grade ones and the Paolo, the little fellow on the left of each of those pictures. He's 6 years old, and when he came to school, he knew zero English. He said no English. He didn't understand it when it was spoken to him, and he couldn't say anything. He only spoke Xhosa, because that's what his grandmother spoke, and so that's all he knew. And so the first few months of school were very difficult, because you're trying to teach him to read in English, and English letters, and what the sounds they make and everything. So we would have to get Pastor Jeremy, or Pastor Lisi, or one of my students, DJ, to come and translate for him so he would understand what he was supposed to be learning, right? And that's amazing, because that's where he started at. Well, a couple months ago, he was reading his English page about how Christ came and died for his sins, and that sinners don't get to, that sinners have to go to hell unless they accept Christ's gift. And he looked at his teacher and he said, "That's me. I want to get saved." And so she was able to get one of our assistant teachers in who speaks Xhosa to come and explain the gospel to him in his heart language, and he accepted Christ, which is just a miracle and a blessing. That's why we have our school in trilingual. We have some teachers who speak Afrikaans, some teachers who speak Xhosa, and some teachers who speak English, and we all work together, so we're able to share the gospel in the student's heart language. So the next one, about 6 months in, I had to leave the country in order to restart my visa because I was not able to get the long-term visa, so I had a three-month visa. So you're able to extend it once, but then you have to leave to a non-boarding country overnight before you can come back and get a new visa to start the process over again. So I had to fly out to Zambia, and I spent the night in the international airport, and the Lord provided safety, and I actually got to meet a couple interested people on the airplane, and it was really cool. So that was a blessing. And then the next one, this is Carter. So Carter is one of our second graders this year, and he lives with his grandmother because his mom's a police officer and she works 24-hour shifts and isn't able to care for him. He lives with his grandmother, and the Afrikaans for grandmother is Oma. So he calls her Ma because it's short for Oma. And one day he came home from school and he said, "Ma, I'm a sinner and I don't want to be anymore. Can you help me?" And she said, "Carter, you're 7 years old. What do you know about being a sinner? Go play." So he did. Well, then the next day he comes in and he says, "Ma, you're going to go to heaven when you're dying. I'm not going to. Can you tell me how to go to heaven?" She said, "Carter, I'm tired. I'm hurting. No, it's bedtime. Just go to sleep." And so then he comes back the next day and he's in tears and he says, "Ma, I'm going to go to hell, and I don't want to. Please, tell me how to get saved." And she said, all right, I'm coming. "What do you mean you're a sinner? Tell me what you mean. What do you mean?" He said, "Well, sometimes I don't tell the truth. That means I'm a liar. And I don't always do what you say, so that means I'm disobedient. Last time my mom came over, I rolled my eyes, and that was disrespectful. And sometimes I take things that don't belong to me, so that means I'm a thief." And she's like, "Okay, Carter, you're right. That does mean you're a sinner. That's true." And she said, "Well, what do you know about Jesus?" And he said, "Well, I know that he's God's son, and he never sinned, and he came down and died on the cross so that he could take away our sins." And she said, "All right, are you sorry for your sins?" "Yes." "Okay, then all you gotta do is tell God that. Pray and tell him that you're sorry for your sins and that you accept Christ's gift." And so he did, and he looks up with this big smile and says, "Ma, I'm gonna go to heaven." She's like, "Yes." And he came to school the next day and told everybody about it. But Carter's story doesn't stop right there, because a couple days later, he went back to his mom and said, "Mom, my mom says she's a Christian, but I don't think she's saved. Can we pray for her to get saved?" And she said, "Of course we can pray for her." So they started praying for her, and she told some of those ladies at school and at church to move. We joined in prayer with her. And about a week and a half later, her daughter called her on the phone, and she said, "Mom, I'm tired of living a lie. I don't want to do this on my own anymore. Can you show me how to have what you have?" And so she was able to lead her daughter to the Lord as well. And that is our goal at Bay Baptist Academy, is to not only impact the children so that they can make a personal decision to serve Christ in their life, but that they can then turn around and impact their world. So if we go to the last slide, I want to thank you so, so much for your part in my ministry and what you've done to be able for me to be able to go there, and for your prayers, because if I didn't have some prayer warriors, I'm pretty sure I probably would have died at least twice this past year. So I thank you for your prayers. And I want to challenge you that whatever it is that God has laid on your heart that he's called you to do, do it, even if it's scary. Because last year I was petrified. I was terrified. I didn't know what I was going to do. And I was like, "Lord, I'm going to give you a year, and it was going to be done." But then once I got there, God worked in my heart and he gave me such peace and such love and such joy and just like, I can't put it in words how wonderful it is to be in the will of God. So I just want to challenge you to whatever it is, especially if it's scary, do it God's way. And thank you so, so much.
I hope you have been blessed to hear the word of God through Amanda, but also challenged in your own faith as to what God can use you to do. Amanda was willing to give up the comfort of everything she knows, to leave her family, to go and do what God has called her to do. And you might be sitting here and thinking, well, that's just crazy. And what I want you to know is, when you understand that you are a sinner that's been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, you recognize that every one of us is a sinner, that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When that truly penetrates your heart, there will be nothing that you'll be unwilling to give up for him. That you will see that living in his will is all you can do. That's what Amanda's come to, and that's what so many before us have come to, that we are not our own. We have been bought with a price. So when God lays something on our hearts, when he calls us to do something, we must go. I just ask if he's calling you to do something this moment. Maybe it's to come to him in faith. Maybe today's a day where you need to admit that you're a sinner, that you need to repent from your sins, that you need to cry out to him. The Spirit of God is showing you that, and that today might be a day of faith, that you come to faith. I pray that if that's true, that you will be bold enough to stand up and come share that. And maybe he's calling you to do something in our local community or to join us as a church member. Whatever he's calling you to do, I pray that you will follow him. Because his will is the ultimate right place for us. So thank you for being here. Amanda's going to be here. We're going to take up a love offering at the end. So there'll be somebody, I'll be standing at that door with an offering plate. There'll be somebody down here. We just want to be able to support her as she goes. Amanda needs a certain amount of money to go. And she said it doesn't matter if she gets it or not. She's going. She's going to trust that God will provide, as he is our provider. So be in prayer for her as she goes. When will you be headed back? So headed back the 26th. So just be praying for her as she goes through all that again. Pray for her driving, obviously. Just that God will continue to work in and through her. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and holy God, you are good. God, you have given us so much in Jesus. I pray that my brothers and sisters in Christ will see the example of this young woman and be willing to deny themselves, take up their cross and follow you, Jesus. That we will not cling in desperation to the comfort that we have, but that we will give ourselves fully to you, the God who saves, to be used as an instrument as you see fit, wherever you see fit, God. And if Amanda can go as a missionary to South Africa, God, how much more can we go across the street or to the cubicle next to us or to the supermarket or wherever we may go with the gospel of Jesus? God, don't let us be complacent while people around us go to hell. You're calling people every day, and God, I just pray that we'll be desirous to be a part of it. And I pray if you've called one today to true faith, that they would come and share that with us, that we could rejoice that you have indeed saved another, added another to your kingdom. God, I pray for the one that you might be calling to go as a missionary. I pray that they'll hear that call clearly. Pray, God, that they would submit to your will for them, and that you would surround them with people that will support them as they go. Thank you, God, for your word and for the power that it has to change our lives and to set us on the mission that you came and set up with Jesus to seek and save the lost. be obedient to do this. In Jesus' name I pray.